But first, the midterm elections are still more than a year away, but campaign finance reports for the third quarter of 2017 were due to the Federal Election Commission recently. To help us pore over them, looking for clues as to how campaigns are going, I'm joined by Sarah Briner. She's Research Director for the Center for Responsive Politics. And Sarah, let's start with the big picture. Do you have a sense of where candidates are in terms of the amount of money they're raising relative maybe to past election cycles?
It's difficult to say how much is being spent comparably because there's so many conflicting factors that affect how much money you see overall. So it's hard to compare cycle to cycle so early, but I will say that what I've noticed from the data so far is that we are seeing far more challengers who have already started raising money. So that's unusual. Usually incumbents get kind of a pass for a year before the challengers really start entering their races. But this year we've already seen, particularly from the Democratic Party, many, many more challengers than we would expect at this point in the cycle.
And are those challengers having success raising enough money to be competitive so far?
Raising enough money to be competitive? That's hard to say. It costs a lot of money to take down an incumbent. And it's very difficult to say whether somebody who's raised $500,000 right now, which is a lot at this point in the cycle, is really going to be able to take down an incumbent who already has $1.5 million in the bank. But raising anything as a challenger so early in the cycle is a good sign. And there are definitely some races where if I were the incumbent, I would start to be a little bit worried, including in Arizona, actually, the 8th district, where Franks is being challenged by someone who's actually raised more money than he has so far. And that might not matter because it's kind of a conservative district. He's a Republican. But those are sort of the kinds of trends that I'm seeing more frequently than in the past.
I want to ask you about the U.S. Senate race here, which is seen as one of the more perhaps interesting is the word to use in the country. Jeff Flake, obviously the incumbent, is facing a challenge from the right in his primary. Whoever wins that primary will face, in all likelihood, U.S. Representative Kyrsten Sinema, who is touting her fundraising, is known as a good fundraiser. This seems like the kind of race that could ultimately generate a whole lot of money.
I would not be surprised if the Arizona Senate race was one of the most expensive in the country. It's a seat the Republican Party desperately wants to hold, and it's a seat that the Democrats desperately want to pick up. So it's a little early to tell because we haven't started to see the kind of super PAC spending yet in elections that we're going to see closer to the actual election days. But I'd say that this one's probably going to be, I'd say, at least top 10, probably top 5.
There are a couple of other congressional races in Arizona that are seen as competitive that have already drawn a number of candidates. Are you seeing anything in the numbers for any of those races or with any of the particular candidates that jumps out to you, either in the amount or where money's coming from or the timing of how much money they're raising?
Well, I think the Arizona 2nd, Martha McSally's district, is going to be one of the most expensive House races in the country. Seen as a swing district, lots of candidates from the Democratic Party challenging Representative McSally. She's raised a ton of money, though. So this is not a race where you see the challenger outraising her or even really getting close. She has much, much, much more cash on hand and has raised a lot more money than her challenger so far.
When you look at the FEC reports so far, are there any clues as to how candidates are doing or where their money is coming from?
Yes. Well, it depends on what kind of candidate you are. Democratic challengers are getting a lot more money from small donors, so people who are contributing less than $200, which might not seem small to everyone, but technically counts as a small donation. And incumbents, as is often the case, look towards political action committees for a lot of their support. I think very few challengers have received any money from traditional political action committees so far, and that's just because PACs and incumbents have relationships. So that's kind of my early take, but really sort of from a more unique to this cycle perspective, it's the small donations funding Democratic challengers that I think is interesting.
At what point in the cycle does it become clear whether or not a candidate is financially viable or not?
You know, I'd say now is a good point. If you haven't been able to raise at least, I'd say, $100,000, it's not looking good for you. There are certainly exceptions. I mean, you just have to look at the Eric Cantor, David Bratt race from a few years ago to remember that money doesn't necessarily matter, especially in years where there's much discontent with the party in power. So I'd say that generally speaking, you need to have raised something. To be really competitive, you need to have raised in the six digits at this point. That isn't to say that someone isn't going to come into the race in the next 3 months and bring in a huge amount of financial support, but I'd say right now we can get a pretty good sense of which races are likely to be ones to watch.
All right. Sarah Briner is the research director with the Center for Responsive Politics. Sarah, thanks a lot.
No problem. Thank you so much.